You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Well, this is a message we're preaching this morning that for me is one of, I guess, my life messages that I wrote about 2 years ago, and I've seen it unfold in my life, especially last year in 2024, where I felt God's word for me in 2024 was be strong, which I thought, oh, 2024 will be a brilliant year, and God's told me to be strong, it's going to be brilliant. And it really was a year mixed with opportunities, mixed with struggle, mixed with hardship. And I don't say that to, you know, play the violin for me this morning, but just to paint the reality of what this Christian journey often looks like. How many people know it's not all smooth sailing when you follow Jesus? It's not all sunshine and rainbows. But God gave me a word about being strong, and God came through on his promise. So I wrote this message 2 years ago, and God's really put it on my heart to share it with you this morning. So I'm not going to ask you if that's okay. I'm going to tell you that it's okay. And that's the message we're preaching this morning. A message called Street Called Struggle. Turn to your neighbor and say, Street Called Struggle. Street Called Struggle. It comes straight out of Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10, which the Apostle Paul writes, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. For our struggle, the Bible says, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He goes on to say, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, talking about the armor of God, the weapons that God has given us, things like the sword of the Spirit, the boots fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, and the shield of faith by which you can extinguish all of the fiery arrows of the evil one. I don't know about you, but in 2025, I think we've got to be a church that puts on the full armor of God for the mandate and the assignment that the Lord has got for us. We all live, I think, on a street called struggle. Now, think with me to a moment or a time where you've had a struggle in life. It's been contentious. There's been tension. There's maybe been something that you've had to push through or persevere in. I think back to one of my first cars, a beautiful dark green, dark gray Suzuki Swift. Everybody say, ooh. Suzuki Swift. This was a fine Suzuki Swift. It had a spoiler on the back. It had special alloys. It looked really cool. And you'll know, young people, when you turn 17, you pass your driving test, you get a car, you get your first car, you've got to name your car, don't you? You've got to christen the car. You've got to give it a name. So I give my car, my Suzuki Swift car, the name Taylor for Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift. I knew it was trouble when I walked in. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you, if you're a Taylor Swift fan, you get it. I'm sorry, guys, it's me. I'm the problem, it's me. I'm a big Swiftie at heart, thus my car was Taylor Swift. But one morning, I was getting up on a Sunday morning, and it was a snowstorm outside. It was blowing a gale. It was crazy. The snow was pounding the street. There was ice on the street. And I got into my car to come to church, and I tried to turn the car on, and all I heard was, the car wouldn't start. Tried again, the car wouldn't start. And so I'm panicking. I'm freaking out. It's Sunday morning. It's game day. It's church. I've got to get myself to church. And so I woke my housemates up at the time. We all came down the stairs. We're out in the snow, and we're in our pajamas, our dressing gowns, our slippers, and we're just trying as much as we could just to push Taylor Swift to just get the car started. There's a struggle taking place. We're pushing with all of our might, trying to get this car started. The car wouldn't start. Struggling in the snow, devastated, until I call somebody from Audacious Church. I tell them of my pain and my struggle, and they came racing down Sawgall with some jump leads, and Taylor Swift came back to life. I thought Taylor had died, Tay-Tay, gone forever, but in Jesus' name, she was resurrected. Come on, hallelujah, Neve. Come on. Taylor Swift is alive. And then I gave Taylor Swift away to Pastor Josh Hall, who she lasted for about 6 months left in her, and then Taylor Swift went to be with the Lord, the car Lord. She's still alive, guys, it's fine, she's fine. A struggle taking place, trying to push this car, trying to get some momentum going. And I think for all of us, if we're totally honest, we all know what struggle's like, don't we? Some of it's less hard, some of it's painful, some of it's a struggle in the morning trying to just get up and get at it to work. Sometimes it's with the kids, sometimes it's business woes, sometimes it's life circumstances. All of us know exactly what it's like to be in a struggle. But in 2025, culture has repelled us from struggle and magnetized us towards the comfort zone. We're told things like this: if you just study hard, get a good job, get a well-paying job, you'll have enough money to be comfortable. Angle your whole life with the mantra of the North Star of just be comfortable. Are you comfortable? We're drifting towards the comfort zone. But I want to suggest today, as Christians in this place, that if we live our lives in the comfort zone, we're never going to achieve anything great for God. In fact, Forbes says it like this, says growth and comfort cannot ride the same horse. And so in other words, for us today, as leaders, as people, men and women of the gospel, if we're to grow in the things of God, we've got to reject the comfort zone and embrace the struggle. What is the comfort zone? It's defined as this: a settled method of working that requires little effort and yields only barely acceptable results. We've grown to love comfort. We don't just need a new car, do we? We need a new car with heated seats, that's got the driving by itself function. It's got to have all of the gadgets. It's got to have everything that we need to make us feel comfortable. We don't just need dinner, we need McDonald's, and we need the burger piping hot in 30 seconds. And if they send us to that little bay where you've got to wait an extra minute and a half, that's just out of order. That's despicable. I need it right now. I need it with my barbecue sauce, and I need it extra hot and ready to go. We want everything on our terms, comfortable, quick, easy, convenient, and cheap. And the danger today for us is we can sacrifice our callings, our purposes, our destinies, our God call on the altar called comfort and not step into the fullness of what God has for us because there's a struggle. Struggle is the necessary discipline today for the children of God to achieve breakthrough, scale to new heights, and dig to new depths. The devil wants you and I to live in the comfort zone, doesn't he? Because there we're not a threat. But if we can break through the temptation of the comfort zone, embrace the struggle, step out in faith, we can be a vessel for God that takes ground, wins the city, sees miracles, reaches the lost, and leaves a legacy. And so today the choice for you and I is this. We can either take up residency in comfort lane, or we can live on the street called struggle. And I want to suggest, in 17 minutes and 40 seconds, you and I were born for a street called struggle. Turn to your neighbor and say, struggle. Come on, give it a bit of oomph this morning. Say, struggle. Struggle. Ephesians 6 says this in verse 12, for our struggle, everybody say, struggle, is not against flesh and blood. In other words, it's against the rulers, the authorities, the forces of evil in the heavenly realms, talking about a struggle. And Paul writes these words in a context of a church in a place called Ephesus many years ago, who were very familiar of what it looked like to live on a street called struggle. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you would have heard a piece of this context when I preached a message on enthusiasm. But to catch us all up to speed, Ephesus right now is a city of 300,000 people, and fear and magic literally rules the day in Ephesus. In fact, you'd walk down the street and you'd utter incantations to ward off evil spirits. You wouldn't want to look at the priests that ran the temple because they'd do all sorts to you, pull you in, they'd curse you, all of that. You lived with a real sense of fear. And it was so tragic that babies were sacrificed on the altar. It really was hell on earth. And I don't say that lightly. And Paul addresses this message to a church in Ephesus that were very familiar of what it looked like to live on a street called struggle. In fact, the whole church throughout the past 2,000 years has known what it is like to live on a street called struggle. Let me tell you about the martyrdom of St. Alban. St. Alban is the first recorded Christian martyr in 304 AD in Britain. Catch this, a Roman soldier sheltered a persecuted Christian priest and he was converted. Love that, he tried to help the priest and he got converted himself. Converted, when soldiers came to arrest the priest, Alban switched clothes with him, was captured and executed for refusing to renounce his faith. The St. Alban's Cathedral later has been built in his honor. Christians in the 4th century knew what it was like to encounter struggle. In the 8th century in Europe, St. Boniface and the conversion of Germany. St. Boniface, an English missionary, traveled to pagan Germany in the 700s to spread Christianity. He cut down the sacred oak of Thor in Gelsmar, proving that the pagan gods had no power. Though he converted thousands, many opposed him, and in 754 AD, he and 52 companions were martyred by the pagan warriors. Christians in the 9th century knew what it looked like to encounter struggle. And throughout the last 2,000 years, Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ, have had to overcome Roman oppression, Saxon paganism, Viking destruction, Ottoman enslavement, religious inquisitions, political struggles. But in 2,000 years, the church hasn't shied back, hasn't given up, hasn't withdrawn, hasn't lost faith in the face of evil, persecution, and suffering. And today in 2025, we sit in the fruit and in the slip stream of men and women, boys and girls who paid the ultimate price on their street called struggle so we could live in the promises of God. How awesome is that? And so today, what's our response? Be nice and easy to preach a lukewarm kind of message this morning, isn't it? You know, that fills you with faith and encourages you. But I think the heart of the gospel is defined by Bonhoeffer, and it's right in the back of my Bible is a note, and it says this: when Christ calls a man, this is a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. So my encouragement for you this morning is come into the street called struggle, and each of us lay our lives down for the greatest cause and call on the planet, serving Christ Jesus. But how do we do that? It's good rhetoric, isn't it? Come and serve the Lord and lay your life down. But how do we do it? Two things for each one of us to live well on our street called struggle. The first thing is this, is fight the good fight. Write that down if you're taking notes. Fight the good fight. The Bible says this in Ephesians 6:13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith by which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. St. Patrick, I'd like to say a good friend of mine, not quite. St. Patrick lived on a street called struggle. Let me tell you about St. Patrick. In Roman Britain, he was born, kidnapped by Irish raiders, what bandits they were, as a teenager, and sold into slavery. Enduring harsh conditions as a shepherd, during this time he turned to prayer and later escaped Ireland, just like I did, escaped Ireland, after receiving a vision from God. I'm kidding, it was a joke. You can laugh at that. There we go, much better. Escaped Ireland after receiving a vision from God. Feeling called to return to Ireland as a missionary. That's cool, isn't it? Called back. He faces fierce opposition from Druids and warlords who saw Christianity as a threat. And despite attempts on his life, he boldly preached the gospel, famously defying pagan customs by lighting the Easter fire on Slane Hill and declaring that Jesus is the light of the world. Through his efforts, thousands were converted, baptized, and discipled. And by his death, Ireland had largely embraced Christianity. One of the quotes from St. Patrick is this. He says, "For daily, I expect to be murdered or betrayed or reduced to slavery if the occasion arises. But I fear nothing." Everybody say, fear nothing. Fear nothing because of the promises of heaven, for I have cast myself into the hands of Almighty God who reigns everywhere. As the prophet says, cast your burdens onto the Lord and he will sustain you. Patrick put on the armor of God, called back into Ireland, didn't retreat in the face of evil, but decided and made a choice that if there was a cause worth fighting for, if there was an assignment, a mission that he would give his life to, it was fighting the good fight with the good news. 1 Timothy 6 verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. And so you and I can win the struggle by embracing the fight. And it's not just any fight we're fighting this morning. It's a good fight with the good news, living well with integrity to honor God and bring heaven to earth, loving our friends and neighbors who offend us, disappoint, come against us, evangelizing and telling the world there is a hope for humanity, coming against the devil's schemes with the word of God. And if you can just decide to fight the good fight of faith, I want to encourage you that Miracle Avenue is on the other side of the street called struggle. And if you can just stay true to the God call, true to the assignment, fight the good fight by faith, you'll step into miracle territory. You'll see breakthrough everywhere you go. You'll see God do the immeasurably more than you can ask, think, or imagine because you decided not to run, but to fight the good fight of faith. Today, Audacious Church, you were born for a street called struggle. The second thing we can do to thrive in the struggle and on the street called struggle is this, is refuse to retreat. Turn to your neighbor and say refuse. Refuse. Come on with a bit of oomph, say refuse. Refuse, refuse to retreat. Many of us are tempted to retreat to the comfort zone, thinking that it will be easier, it'll be better, it'll be safer. And many years ago when I was in primary school, we used to torment the high schoolers that were at the school next door. And what would happen is this, we would get out 30 minutes before the high schoolers, and we came up with this grand plan to wind them up and then run away. So we would get out 30 minutes before, and the high schoolers got out at 3:15, and we'd stand at the gates, and we'd wave, we'd gesture. I'm going to be honest, I was 11. Some unholy gestures towards the high schoolers to taunt them in our direction. Wasn't a Christian, forgive me, didn't know any better. We taunt the high schoolers, come and get it if you think you're hard enough, that kind of stuff, right? And they come bolting out of the gates, and we would run through the town. They'd have to go and get their bus, so there was only so far they could run. We'd run into the distance. We'd have a good old time. Until one day, we stood at the gates and wondered, where have the high schoolers gone? Is it a day off? Have they got extracurricular activities? Where are these high schoolers? And we're looking around, wondering where they've gone. And we look to our right, and coming bolting down the street, who had taken the back exit from the school, were the high schoolers. No, we were quick. We were quick. Jonas, we were quick, let me tell you. We were quick. We were gone. But the high schoolers, they were faster. And we're bolting it through town as fast as we can, and we thought it would be a great idea to run into a dead end. Everybody say, uh-oh, we're in the dead end. And we turn around thinking they would have given up, and the high schoolers are there. And the high schoolers start to take off their ties, take off their blazers, drop their backpacks, and we're looking at each other thinking, this is it. I'd love to say that was the moment I gave my life to the Lord and got saved. It wasn't. I'm looking around for a way out. How do I get out of this struggle, this mess? And I look, and there's a lady just doing her dishes. And she looks up and catches my eye. And I shouted, I kid you not, unashamed, at the top of my lungs, help! It was more like this, help! It's 11. She comes running out to our rescue. The high schoolers bolt, they go, and goodness me, such a relief. And let me tell you, from that day on, we did not chase the high schoolers again. Learned our lesson. Now, I'm not saying for you to go and fight the high schoolers, bad idea. But what I'm saying is, as Christians, we shouldn't retreat like the world does. And often for us, we are quick to retreat. And the reason we lose heart, we get crushed, we give up in the struggle, isn't because things got too hard, isn't because God isn't with us, because we know that He is. It's because we retreat instead of fight. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I'm going to ask my 5 volunteers, let's call them victims, to come and join me on platform to help me with this analogy. And we've got Dom making another return to the platform from a few weeks ago. Give it up for the volunteers. Thank you, guys. We've got 3, 4. Pastor Josh, oh, there's one more. Let's go. Beautiful. Guys, if you could just stand like this, facing out in the middle, all joined together, facing out, that would be beautiful. Thank you so much. And so when you're out there taking ground for God, you're advancing the kingdom of God, you're doing great things for God, the devil loves to try and ruin your day, doesn't he? Tries to take us out, puts a target on our back. And so we've got the armor of God. We've put on the armor of God. We're ready to take on the devil, take on the fight. We're ready to rock and roll, aren't we? Give us your best power pose. There we go. We're ready to rock and roll. But life just gets tough, guys, doesn't it? Life just gets tough. There's things that happen, disappointment, hurt, let down. It's difficult and it's hard, isn't it? So what happens is, you know, Jimbo, he's having a tough time. Come on over with me, bud. And suddenly he's on his own. And what the devil loves to do, he loves to isolate us, comes around and he, you know, gets Jimbo because he's out on his own. Great acting, buddy. Dom, take notes. You can jump back in. So Jimbo was, you know, taken out, but he's been restored in Jesus' name. Come on. Jimbo's restored. Finally. And so we're ready to go, but guys, it's tough being a Christian this day and age. Tough staying true to the Word of God, isn't it? It's difficult. Life happens. It's stressful. You just decide, I'm giving this church thing up, giving this thing up. That's me. So if all of you guys could turn 180 and face that way, that would be perfect. So now what happens is that Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God, but it only talks about armor for the front. Breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, boots fitted. It's all armor for the front. So when these guys start to withdraw and turn and retreat, it's easy pickings, isn't it? For the devil just to come along and take them out. Now, guys, come forward with me. Face out again. I need you forward. Thank you. Link arms together. And then we're going to do a little bit of a loop. Come with me. We're going to form a circle. You guys are going to link up. Beautiful. Give it up for these guys. Fantastic. So now what happens is they've got the armor of God, Ephesians 6. They're fighting the good fight of faith. They've got calls and mandates, God calls on their lives, and they've decided to lock in the community, lock into church together, pursue the things that God has for them. And so what's taking place is right now, Dom's got his armor fitted. He's almost impenetrable because the devil can't get around, but because they're locked in the community, this guy's my neighbor. He's got my back. So where the devil would want to come and take my back, ruin my life, take me out, they've got the armor of God on, the community of brotherhood, sisterhood, the local church. The devil just has no avenue, no foothold, no way in, because they're fitted with the armor of God and the power of the local church. Guys, I implore you, when you're doing this thing for God, this adventure of faith, lock into community, put on the full armor of God, and make a decision, unlike I did, to not retreat in the face of opposition, retreat in the face of the Goliaths, retreat in the face of the challenge, but put on the full armor of God, and like 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. And now, because these guys decided to stick at it, they've had a breakthrough. Anna's seen God do so much stuff in her life, she can't even comprehend it. She could have ran from her home country in Ukraine, ran from Kharkiv, showed up here and just blended into the distance in the fabric of society. But Anna made a decision to put on the full armor of God, get locked into the sisterhood, brotherhood of local church. And God is doing some crazy awesome stuff in your life. That is the power of on the street called struggle, fighting the good fight of faith. You guys can go. You guys can go. Give it up for these guys. So this morning, I want to tell you, Audacious Church, you ready for this? Don't retreat from church, fight. Seeds of doubt in your mind, fight. Standing in praise and worship, and it's hard to worship the Lord because of what you're going through, make a decision to I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned. The alarm clock goes off in the morning and you'd rather not show up to school, fight. Life gets tough and overwhelming, fight the good fight. You just want to quit, give up, turn your back on everything that you've known. I want to encourage you, stand firm then with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with the belt of truth, with the boots that come from the readiness of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Come on, there's breakthrough on the horizon in your life. But you've got to repel, reject, ignore comfort lane and take up residency on the street called struggle. I stand here in the breakthrough of many generations of people that give their all for God. They're all for the building of the local church, the impact of society, the establishing of businesses, the integrity in the workplace, the integrity in politics. There's a long way to go in some areas, I admit. But we stand today in the fruit of those that made a decision to stand firm then. For our struggle, it's not against flesh and blood, but against the devil, his schemes, his powers. If you feel like retreating today, you feel like isolating yourself, I want to encourage you, lock into the power of the local church. Lock into small groups, lock in the team. It's easy to retreat from the struggles of life. Maybe it's time to stand in and fight. But you don't fight on your own. You stand and you fight with the power of God, the authority of the Word of God. My Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's all things to those that are called according to His purposes and His plans. So what is your area of your life where you've got to stand today? What is it you've got to stand firm on? In the face of fear, in the face of a society that would reject what you believe in, a society that would encourage you to the comfort zone, where is it you've got to stand? So I think if we all together, we stood faithful in the promises of God for our house and our individual houses, we'd have a generation who would stand on a platform and the stories they read to us, to those people then, wouldn't be stories from 1400 years ago. It would be stories of 2025, when a people in Chester stood firm in the Word of God, loved the city like no one else did, helped the lonely, picked up the homeless, were there for the struggling, those that were isolated, stood in all of the ways that the world isn't. Oh my goodness, they'd be stories to tell the generations. What will you stand firm on? If you're in the street called struggle, you're in a good place. Because I'm your neighbor and I just live next door. Today, maybe there's someone you've got to reach out to. Say, hey, I'm in the struggle. I feel it right now. I feel the pinch. Look to your left, look to your right. Because each one of you has a neighbor who lives on the street called struggle. Devil wants to tell you you're on your own, you're isolated, you're lonely. But these are my neighbors. We're in it together. These are your neighbors. You're in it together.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.